Gettle is the official HVAC partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Keeping things cool on the ice and warm at home. Gettle, your trusted HVAC and plumbing partner. Visit Gettle.com/ducks for exclusive promotions. G-O-E-T-T-L. We make comfort easy to spell.
Coast to coast, nonstop action. This is the premier source for National Hockey League news, scores, highlights, and the Anaheim Ducks. It's time to light the lamp with Alexis Downey.
Welcome in to Light the Lamp. We're back in the Paul Kariya studio this week, and I'm happy to be joined today by our friend Shannon Skanes, also known as the Hockey Guy. Shannon, welcome back to Southern California.
Thank you very much.
How's your week been since you've been here?
Tiring, hot, busy, but enjoyable.
What have you been able to do so far?
We've been in the Disneyland, Disney World area, mostly. My wife's taken advantage of the pool. We've been at the Grand Californian. So we've had a really good chance to relax, get some shopping done, and just sort of, it's that chance for me to reset during the off season before things get crazy again in September.
Been to Disney as well as a part of this trip?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We didn't do any of the D23 stuff, but we definitely heard about the D23 stuff. And there's a lot of D23 people around us. Mm-hmm. And it was incredibly busy last night from that, too. So
it was a busy weekend at Honda Center because that's where it was. So we weren't really in the office for that. But, you know, just having all that excitement around, certainly I can see where that would carry over to the park as well. A lot of things to come there, and you're sporting your Disney gear too. I was looking at your watch. I really like the Mickey on that.
Yeah. Before we came down, I got a Mickey watch. I got my wife the mini watch as well.
Cute.
Because I don't like always being on my phone, and I feel like, you know, I miss wearing a watch, and it's kind of nice to be able to put the phone away and forget it for a little while and on vacation. And nice not to be grabbing the phone every 10 seconds. Mm-hmm.
Perfect time to reset, because I know we were just talking before we started this. It has been so quiet this month. And you said, you know, you had a good point. The Olympics just happened. That was really the focus, it seemed like, in sports for the last couple of weeks. But yeah, isn't it weird just how quiet it's been in hockey recently?
I can't remember anything. Like, I don't think maybe like during COVID it was this quiet. But since then, I can't remember it being this quiet. This has just been like nothing happening. I know right before we went on vacation, I was like, I'll do one last news video before we leave. And then I'm looking, I'm like, there's nothing I can even make a speculative video on. There's just nothing. And so maybe now it's picking up.
But you've been able to, you know, come up with some off-season content. I know today you put out your hockey bucket list, and I was looking at that. I thought that was a really fun concept. I saw number 10 on the list was call a game. And I know that we've talked about before, you know, how you have a little bit of that love too for the broadcasting side. But just talking about some of the things that you'd like to do on that bucket list, you know, see, you know, a Stanley Cup win live and things like that. You know, is it easy to come up with some of this off-season content for you? I mean, you've been doing it for years, but just coming up with different ideas.
The bucket list one's relatively easy because I've been a fan for just so long, and I know there's a lot of things I'd like to be able to do. Mm-hmm. And I think because too, when we do live streams, I get a lot of the same questions over and over. So I was kind of like, okay, I'll do this video on this topic because we often get asked like, which arenas have you been to, which is a short list. And I'd love for that to be a much longer list, but the logistics of it, it's easier in idea than it is in putting it into action.
As far as your channel and just your growth, have you thought about the upcoming season? Do you ever set goals for the year, or do you just kind of see the ebbs and flows of, you know, with hockey and with your channel?
My goals is to try to, well, I mean, my main goal is to try to make sure that I feel like the content for 1 year is better than the last year. Mm-hmm. So towards the end of the year, I was like, okay, I want to do my recaps and reviews, and I had a little bit different, make it a little bit easier for me, a little more entertaining and a little bit less stats heavy. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of focusing on that. And then for all my other off season content, I like to do the historical stuff. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of, obviously I'm in a sphere where a lot of people are going to be a lot younger than I am. I remember a lot of the stuff from the early 80s, mid 80s and stuff like that. So I can talk about that kind of stuff. I know it doesn't draw as many views, but I feel like there's some unique content I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I think one thing too, and I've kind of had to keep on myself with this, is not to worry so much about if I'm going to make a list or if I'm going to make a video where I give an opinion on something, where I'm not going to worry about blowback or brushback or somebody going, how dare he say that about this player? How dare he say that? Oh, he's hating on this. I have to just let that go and just, you know, go with the content that I feel like is fun. And I love making lists and I love that kind of thing. And so that's my plan this season, is to kind of let go of that worry about, oh, this comment section is going to be toxic.
It's certainly, you know, a difficult part of, you know, being in this sphere and just putting your opinion out there. But you have a lot of love for you and a lot of great subscribers. So, you know, I'm sure that that certainly helps on that end. But Shannon, I want to talk about what's sitting in front of you.
Okay.
This brand new jersey. We were able to talk to you a few months ago at this point when we released the logo, released the jersey, but now you get to see it in person. What are your thoughts in seeing it?
I really like the way that the logo, and I mean, it's weird because everything's 3D, but the 3D effect of the Ducks face on here. I don't mind the orange. I know there are people that have been not as big a fan of as much orange as is on the jersey. But I really like the orange, and I really like the way the numbers are done as well. The more sparkle that NHL teams put on their jerseys, I think the better. I think that this is a good trend that the NHL, like some teams have had that kind of effect dating back decades, but I really like what they've done here. I think the numbers, the letters are really nicely done. I do prefer the shoulders without pockmarks. I think that looks nicer. And I did notice the updated version of the Web D here as well. I really like that too. Honestly, I think it's very nicely done. I do understand why some people think there's too much orange, but it's Orange County.
Yeah.
It's orange. It's that's the region they're in. And I totally get it. And I'm fine with them doubling down on it.
I really love the gold too, the sparkle. I think that's going to be neat to see on the ice, the way it's going to be shining under those lights. And just getting to see the full kit once it's together, you know, the helmet, the pants, everything. Yep. You know, that'll be a different perspective too. And just, you see the jersey now, but what's it going to look like on the ice?
Yep, absolutely. And then for the funny thing too, is I saw a lot of people like, oh, they should go back to the original. Well, they can do that as a throwback. They they just had the 30th anniversary jersey, which had that color scheme. You can always do that. But I think your home and away, it should. I prefer when a team does something new. I'm always like a little bit let down when I hear a team's rebranding, like the Senators. And they went back to their original look, which I understand people really like. But I really was hoping for something new or some kind of like revamped look of things. And so I appreciate that they're taking a little bit of a risk. I like the orange eye on it as well. I think taking a little bit of a risk and trying something new makes a lot more sense.
Well, hopefully we can get you to a game at some point. You can see this new uniform on the ice as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Let's go into, since we're talking about hockey, the Pacific Division, I thought today would be a good opportunity to kind of go through the Pacific Division, some of the off-season moves for each of the team. And then starting with Anaheim, we're going to go in alphabetical order. Okay. So, you know, Vancouver towards the bottom of that list, your team. Yep. But let's start with the Ducks. You know, not a super busy offseason, but, you know, two additions in Brian Dumoulin and Robbie Fabry. You know, they had the draft, able to add to their draft stock. But looking ahead to the season, you know, where do you think Anaheim sits in terms of, you know, this rebuild that they've been going through these last couple years and under general manager Pat Verbeek?
I think they'll still be ahead of the Sharks this coming season. With the Flames, I don't know how. I know the Flames are trending out of the playoffs and out of that picture altogether. I don't know if they'll be below the Ducks, but I think a lot of it's going to depend on the goaltending in Calgary, because Vladar didn't have a great year. Wolf has a ton of potential. We've seen him in Abbotsford a few times playing for the Wranglers. He's a very good goaltender, but it could take a while for him at the NHL level. So I could see the Ducks finishing ahead of Calgary as well. And I'm going to be interested too to see how the pick of Seneca works out, because that really seemed off the board. I know we were doing that live stream and everybody was kind of like, they drafted who? Like, that was not.
Was that your reaction too?
Oh yeah. I was absolutely shocked. The reaction that the kid had when his name was called out, which I thought was absolutely perfect.
It was.
I thought that was one of, we often talk about how hockey players, they don't have personality and they don't give you the honest truth. And that moment was so pure and so great. And so I wish him nothing but the best. I think Pat Verbeek's done a good job, but with the way that rebuilds are now in the NHL, they just take more time.
Yeah. You know, and talking about Beckett, that moment for him at the draft, I asked him at the end of development camp week, how are you doing? You know, how are things going? You've had a crazy week coming to Anaheim, all the hype, you know, getting picked in the first round. He said he was tired. He wanted to go home and relax. And it just speaks to, you know, just these, they're kids, and it does take time to develop talent. And that's certainly something we're looking forward to seeing with the Ducks. Someone on that end, Leo Carlson, any thoughts on him going into his second season?
Carlson looked really good last year. I do think that, I mean, the injury drew him back a little bit that second half of the season. But, I mean, he looks like he's going to be a very good first-line center at the NHL level. And I think there's a good young core there for the Ducks right now, and this is where that build-up starts. But, yeah, Carlson's excellent.
And then adding a guy like Cutter Gauthier to this Ducks roster this year, that's someone that Leo will be able to have alongside him potentially as well.
Gauthier, I'll be interested to see with Gauthier and then with Drysdale and Philly, because Drysdale did really well at the start in Philly, and then he got hurt, and then he wasn't quite as effective when he got back. I think Anaheim did an excellent job getting Gauthier, because Drysdale clearly wasn't in the long-term plans here. So being able to get a guy like Gauthier, a potential top six forward, excellent for that.
Just a reminder that Gettle is the official HVAC partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Keeping things cool on the ice and warm at home. Gettle, your trusted HVAC and plumbing partner. Visit Gettle.com/ducks for exclusive promotions. G-O-E-T-T-L. We make comfort easy to spell. Let's keep moving along. You already mentioned them, but the Calgary Flames, you know, not being in the playoff picture last year. They don't have Jacob Markstrom now, moving on from him. But they did have a couple additions in this offseason. Ryan Lomberg, you know, the new Stanley Cup champion, Anthony Mantha as well. You know, where do you think, I mean, you touched on it already a little bit, but they're now moving kind of in a different direction. Not really sure maybe where they're going to be this year.
If they get off to a slow start, I would expect they just embrace the tank. If they get off to a half decent start, Conroy probably keeps things roughly as they are. They have, like, Blake Coleman's a really good forward. And when they were winning last year, Coleman was kind of their MVP throughout. And I really like Sharon Govich, but I'm not sure about the scoring depth there. And there have been so many exits from that team.
Yeah.
I do wonder what that psychologically does to the other veterans who are there. I think it depends on the mindset. Some guys may be like, all right, I'm, you know, ready to prove people wrong. But there might be some veterans who also think, you know, my buddy just left. And so there's been rumors around potentially Kadri getting moved. So we'll see what they do. But I do think that the Flames are going into it. Because the thing is, if they get off to a half decent start, maybe it becomes a retool of a couple of years.
Yeah.
But if they get off to a really bad start, maybe then you just say, all right, we're going to do the full on rebuild. Mm-hmm.
Now, a team that had quite a year last year, as we had been expecting at some point, the Edmonton Oilers not being able to close it out, obviously, in the Stanley Cup final, but, you know, still making a couple moves this offseason. They also hired Stan Bowman as their new general manager. Do you think that they'll be coming into the year looking a little different or a similar Oilers team this year?
They're definitely going to be different. Adding Arvidsson is going to change that attack a bit. And then word coming out that Evander Kane may start the season on LTIR as well. Now you've got the offer sheets that just came in for Broberg as well as Holloway. So if they match those offer sheets, they're going to have to shed some salary. If they don't, they're going to have to replace those players. The Oilers are in an interesting position. They, I think, are going to be the odds-on favorite to... Yeah, right now they're the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup. People are going to expect them to win. With that pressure, Some teams don't react all that well. Some teams excel. We'll see how they do.
It's definitely a team that I feel like I'm going to keep my eye on heading into the early days of the season too, yeah, just to see how they rebound after last year. Do you feel like that they have kind of a window with their talent, or do you think it's a longer term plan?
It's going to depend on, because you have Draisaitl due next summer,
mm-hmm,
and then you have Big David due a year later. So how they handle those contracts. And then you've still got like Darnell Nurse, who I like as a defenseman, but I don't like the contract. If he starts living up to that contract, they should be fine. But there's a very real possibility that, I mean, part of the reason St. Louis offer sheet today is they're over the cap.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have to negotiate that with Draisaitl's extension and McDavid's next year. And they can't afford to lose either of them while their provincial rivals have just seen a bunch of veterans leave. The Oilers can't afford to have a similar narrative being out there of, well, guys want out, Leon wants out,
yeah,
Connor wants out. You've got to keep them, but you've got to keep them at a reasonable cap hit.
It's a big task for Stan Bowman just stepping in now as the GM.
Yep. Ken Holland picked the absolute perfect year to say, well, I think it's time for me to go.
Yeah.
I'm just going to grab my coat. See you guys later.
Yeah.
Have fun with Leon.
New chapter.
Yep, exactly.
Another team just up the road, keeping with the Pacific Division, mm-hmm, the Los Angeles Kings. They made the playoffs, first round exit, three consecutive years. They made a big move. Darcy Kemper comes in from the Capitals. Pierre-Luc Dubois goes to Washington. Big contract there. What have you thought about the way the Kings have handled their offseason?
I know there was the Athletic did a poll with fans on like fan confidence in front offices, and the Kings were ranked near the bottom.
Mm.
And I think the Dubois signing and then the trade for Kemper is part of the reason why. There's definitely some pressure, but Kemper's 35. He's coming off of a rough year in Washington where Lindgren replaced him as the starter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was looking at the West and trying to figure out, okay, who made the playoffs, who could fall out, and I kept coming back to the Kings and saying this is a team that, unless Byfield hits as the second line center,
yeah,
and they're able to get that scoring off the wing without needing to have him on the wing, I think they're going to have a hard time of it.
Mm.
Just finding enough goals,
yeah,
to keep up with other teams in the West.
Especially with how strong the West is right now. When you look at the last season, the mm-hmm way it all played out.
The West is stronger than it gets credit for. Mm-hmm. I know there's a few bad teams in the West, but I think the West is stronger than it gets credit for.
Definitely. I'm with you too, but maybe a little biased having yeah, the Ducks in it too, yep, being a part of this. Sticking with California, the San Jose Sharks. I mean, last year was certainly a year for them, but they get rewarded in getting Macklin Celebrini at the draft. Have had some changes, some bigger names added this offseason. Tyler Toffoli, Barclay Goodrow.
Yep.
Definitely maybe not the depth on that end that they need, but do you think it's going to be a year of any improvement for the Sharks?
Kind of has to be.
Yeah.
Like they bottomed out so bad last year, and I know it was set up that way. I was very happy for the Sharks to have won the draft lottery because, I mean, I come down, I talk to you guys down mm-hmm here, but I also have regular communication with people who work in the media around the Sharks. And they were just very much along the lines of, look, if we get Macklin Celebrini, this could be a game changer for the organization,
mm-hmm,
for the city, because of his father's ties to that city and all that. And so, I mean, if Celebrini hits and they've got Will Smith coming in too, and you've got actually some pretty good veterans they've added, I think they're going to surprise people. But I can't see them getting more than about 30 wins. But they should be. We should not see them allowing 10 goals in back-to-back games again.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah, it was tough to watch, honestly. Yeah. It was. It's interesting, too, the way that they've transitioned out of, they had those cornerstone pieces of their organization, mm-hmm, moving on from them. I mean, that's just the way hockey works. But they have a lot of young guys now. They yes really do.
Yeah. And the blue line should be improved. The blue line last year was rough.
Mm-hmm.
And there were, I know before the season started, I'd even thought this might be the worst team I've seen in the expand, like in the salary cap era.
Yeah.
Just that roster was, it was a rough one. they really look like an expansion team.
Yeah.
An old expansion team.
The losing streak was tough, I'm sure, for everyone up in San Jose. Sticking with, of course, the Pacific Division, a couple more teams left. The Seattle Kraken, kind of an interesting end to their year. You know, disappointing for their fans not making the playoffs. They have a coaching change this summer, Dan Bylsma coming in. I want to give a little shout out, Jessica Campbell being the first female assistant coach in the NHL now. Really exciting on that end. But, you know, they come away from free agency signing Brandon Montour. Huge add for them. They also get Chandler Stephenson. So where do you think the Kraken are, you know, after, you know, they made the playoffs and they missed the playoffs, getting some movement around now. But where do you think they are coming into the year?
The interesting thing with Seattle last year was I thought their goaltending was the best they've had in their 3 years last year, but their goal scoring disappeared. So they had like, I mean, some of it I think was luck too, but they had, I think it was the most 5-on-5 goals of any team in the league the season before. If the goal scoring can come back, I do think they have a chance, but they might be the toughest team to call in the Pacific because you're going to want another really solid year from Grubauer and Decord, and then it's a matter of, can Jared McCann get back to 40 goals? Are you going to see a bounce back from Beniers, who right now is still a restricted free agent? What's that contract going to look like? You don't want that to drag on into the season. So they might be the biggest wild card in the division right now.
Another team moving on. Let's talk about Vancouver, your team. I'm going to leave it out for you. Just your thoughts on how they've handled the offseason. You know, certainly tough to follow up what they did last year. Amazing year, obviously, being atop the division. But where do you think they sit now with some of their offseason and just, you know, from your perspective, also being from up in the area?
I think they're probably the second strongest team in the division behind Edmonton. I will grant that Edmonton's the strongest team, I think. I know that there was a lot made of Zadorov leaving, but at that cap hit with that contract with and I'm saying this too as a Bruins fan, there's a lot of risk to that contract. Zadorov took the half year he had in Vancouver and he parlayed that into a really, really strong extension with a nice high cap hit. Kudos to him. But it didn't make sense for the Canucks to do that. One thing that's different now is Patrick Alvin seems to do a really good job, and the professional scouting staff they have, their pro scouts, are really good at figuring out what they need and where. So I have a lot of faith in them, but I don't expect a season from Vancouver like this past year because it just wasn't sustainable. And I know I took a lot of fire for that because I would their numbers just, there was some good fortune there. And then it fell off a bit the second half. And I thought that was probably a bit more of an indication of where they are. But they should be second in the division. I think DeBrusk was a good addition. I think they'll be okay.
Where do you think their biggest strength is going into the year?
I think that the experience they got this past season, I think that we saw last year, just JT Miller is an ornery gentleman. He is somebody that will let you know when he's not happy. And some fans aren't used to that and they get angry because he'll go and yell at his own teammates and he will. But I think what we saw this past year was he's really good as a part of that leadership group. So as long as Pettersson's 100% and we've seen what that leadership group can do, the faith they have in each other has to benefit the team. Just has to.
You mentioned them being right behind Edmonton. Obviously they met in the playoffs too. And you know, that was why they exited the playoffs. But do you think that could potentially, that matchup this season could be really important for the team?
Psychologically, yes. Historically, the Canucks, the team that knocked them out the year before, usually they'll really focus on those teams and you know, trying to get their revenge during the regular season kind of thing. Famously with Boston, who in 2011, 2012, they were fine against Boston. They just didn't win in the playoffs after that. But I think they're going to be okay. I think they're going to be one of the better teams in the West. And I think it's going to come down, a lot of it's going to come down to Demko being healthy. There's a lot of concern in the market that we're not hearing anything about Thatcher Demko other than he should be good for training camp, which, okay.
Yeah.
But that's really vague. And so there's a lot. If Demko's not good to go, that's a big red flag.
Mm-hmm. One last team in the Pacific, the Vegas Golden Knights. You know, they've been in the news a little bit this summer. They lost some guys, mm-hmm. you know. It's been interesting, honestly, just looking at where the Golden Knights are at. Where do you think they're at?
I've honestly been really surprised. I wasn't surprised Stevenson went. I think that Stevenson's cap hit probably too much for Vegas because mm-hmm. they're always right near the cap. I think that trading Logan Thompson kind of threw me for a loop because I thought Logan yeah. Thompson was their best goaltender. Like, I like Aiden Hill, but I thought Logan Thompson was a little bit better than Hill. They brought in Samsonov. We'll see if that works. They picked up Holtz from New Jersey. So they're kind of picking up guys who are coming off of either down or disappointing years respectively. But to me, Vegas doesn't look scary anymore.
Yeah.
They just losing Marchessault is huge.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think that's going to leave a big gap in their lineup?
That's huge.
Yeah.
One thing that Vegas has gone through is like they sell the t-shirts that say from misfits to champions from last year, mm-hmm. which is true, but their identity's really changed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're still a contender right now. Mm-hmm. It feels to me more like they're probably a wild card team this year, and a lot's going to depend on Hill's got to be healthy, and they're going to need to find those goals that they lost with Marchessault leaving.
Mm-hmm. One last team I want to throw at you too before we end it. The Utah Hockey Club, they're starting to take shape. It's, you know, obviously the early stages for them. They've got a lot of work to do before the season starts. With what they've been able to do so far, some signings, you know, it's basically the Coyotes also, mm-hmm. you know, what do you think about how they have approached this summer?
You know, I honestly feel bad for fans in Arizona because this was the year where they had all the cap space. They had all the expired contracts. They don't have the dead cap they had before. And this was where things are supposed to start getting built up. This is a team with a lot of good young players. Gunther's mm-hmm. fantastic. Cooley's fantastic. I've been a huge Clayton Keller fan for years. I love Nick Schmaltz's game. Towards the end of the season, I went to a game in Vancouver against the Coyotes. And I just stopped naming off players I liked because I was like, oh, yeah, I'm really glad to see him. Oh, that guy's fast. They're really a good team. And I don't think they're done. Like, I think mm-hmm. still between now and the start of the season, there's going to be some teams that are over the cap that are going to be looking to change things up. And Utah's in a perfect position to pick guys up. And you don't have the baggage. You don't have to worry about an arena.
Right.
You don't have to worry about people saying, oh, you might get moved. You don't have to worry about reporters sticking a microphone in your face every day and going, what do you think about what Morello said here? Like, you don't have to worry about that anymore. I think Utah's really in a good position to potentially make a run at a playoff spot this year.
That's a good point in the sense of this will finally give some of those guys stability and they won't have to worry about it. You're right.
Yep. As soon as the word came out that they might be moving from Arizona, the team on the ice just tanked.
Mm-hmm.
They lost, I think it was like 17 out of 19 or something ridiculous like that. As soon, because I mean, we understand that they're paid millions of dollars, but they're still people. They have families. Mm-hmm. They have off ice things to be concerned with. It's got to be hard to put that out of your mind and go play a game when you're like, I don't know if we're going to be here next year.
Yeah. Well, Shannon, this has been awesome having you back in the studio. Always a pleasure to catch up
Thank
with you.
You.
Excited to see the hockey season coming up in a few short months, but make sure you enjoy the rest of your summer as well and enjoy your trip here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Pleasure being on.
Get your home cozy with Gettle Rejuvenation for just $129. We'll prep your HVAC for the season so you're ready to cheer on our Ducks. Call 866-671-9822 or visit Gettle.com/Ducks. Gettl. We make comfort easy to spell.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on Duckstream.